time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Good morning. It's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. We had a couple of weeks off. So Steve's going to talk really fast and get 3 weeks worth in 1 week. Is that correct?
Well, I'll do my best.
Okay.
I've only had one cup of coffee, so I don't know how fast I can talk.
Well, you want to chug a couple of Red Bulls and then off we go.
Yeah, you know, just the time of year that we see a lot of, or I'm seeing a lot of different things happening with the lawns and the landscapes. The biggest thing we're dealing with right now, at least in our specific area, is that, you know, it's pretty dry out there right now. We've had showers blow through, and it seems like it normally is going to the south of us, whether you're Cincinnati, Mason, Dayton, even just south of Greenville, Troy. Those areas have gotten showers that we just simply have missed. And so the lawns are really starting to show some symptoms and signs of stress due to lack of rainfall. Fortunately, we haven't had extremely high temperatures. The humidity's been relatively high, but the temperatures have remained in the mid to high 80s. Maybe touching the low 90s. That's actually saved us from the lawns just completely going off color, brown. But certainly, you know, from my standpoint, I would sure love to see some showers blow through, because my lawn in particular is looking really sad just because I haven't had time to water it. And again, the lack of rainfall is just really causing a lot of havoc, and the lawns just look lousy. What you're noticing, or what I'm noticing, and I'd say this season, without a doubt, is the worst that I can remember in a long time, if not the worst I can ever remember at the house I live in now, and I've lived there 21 years, and that's bluegrass rust. And rust is a disease that will get into slow growing turf. It's very common in cool season grasses. So if you have a cool season, would be, you know, bluegrass or a perennial rye, and those types of turf definitely like cool season grass, cooler temperatures. So they're going to be, you know, most happy in April, May, late March, April, May, even into early June. They're typically not going to be real happy in July and August, because of the temperatures and, again, lack of rainfall. And then once we get into September, you know, they're going to take off and recover and look fantastic all the way up till snow flies. So if you're lucky enough to have irrigation, you're certainly not going to see rust. And if you have a turf type tall fescue lawn, which is a warm season grass, you're not going to see the rust issue. And if you do, it's going to be really, 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 excuse me, really minor. As far as the infection rate, if you want to see what a really lousy lawn looks like that has rust everywhere, just drive out by my house, because it looks bad.
Take your lawnmower and set it all the way up so it's not really cutting grass, and just go out there and blow that rust off.
Do you have rust in your yard?
I have. I've had some, yeah.
Okay.
I've never tried that. I just seemed like a really good idea.
Oh, my goodness.
You just blow it off of the, because it's just little stuff hanging on.
It's little spores hanging on the blades.
Yeah, so just go on the blades and blow it off.
It's unbelievable. Again, never seen it.
Of course,
quite,
it's going to settle back down on.
Never seen it as bad as it is this year. If you walk across the lawn, your white tennis shoes are orange. If you would take the mower across it, you literally would have an orange cloud following you around the lawn. It's that bad. It looks horrible. It makes the lawn look absolutely atrocious. It is an issue, obviously, but it's not something that's going to kill the lawn. It's growing, or it's spreading because, again, lack of rainfall, and turf will get it as it's growing really slowly. And obviously the turf is not growing at all, or if it is growing, it's growing very slowly right now because of temperatures and very slim amounts of rain coming through. So it is a huge nuisance. I mean, again, you know, I've got a couple dogs, and you let them outside, they come back in, their paws are completely orange, shoes, whatever. I mean, it's really, I mean, as far as trying to play in the yard, or if you had younger kids and, you know, turn them loose to play in the yard, I wouldn't do it, just because they'd come back in and they'd look like an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, and does that, if it gets on their shoes, does that track across white carpet?
Well, it certainly is it's a dust, and so it doesn't necessarily stain if you get it on the kids, dogs, and clothing, but you can, you know, blow it off. I have an air compressor. I don't know. A lot of people may not. So you can, you know, you can blow the spores, which is the bright orange dust. You can blow it off relatively simple, or wash it off relatively simple. It's not going to stain, but it is absolutely atrocious. It's a nuisance. And again, never seen it quite as bad as I've seen it this year. In past seasons, when things start to get dry, like in July and August, I don't know what happened this year. I just don't seem like there's enough hours in the day. I would set sprinklers up and move sprinklers around my yard to keep the turf kind of happy and kind of growing a little bit at a more normal clip. And this year, I just simply haven't had my lawn sprinklers out at all. I've just watered the landscaping pots and plants and trees and stuff around my house, and I haven't really watered the lawn. And it just has really gone off the deep end as far as no growth really at all. And again, it's just horribly discolored. And again, has kind of a yellow to almost a bright orange color to nearly the whole yard. And I just reseeded a large area. And younger turf is more susceptible to it than turf that's been established for a long time. So it's very common to see it in new lawns. And I got it in the new lawn part that I seeded. I got it in the old lawn. It's just everywhere. Consistent. It's very consistent throughout my yard, which is disappointing. But basically, again, slower growing lawns is where it's going to be the worst, and the easiest way to combat it is basically a light application of fertilizer, because it will attack turf that is hungry or starving for nutrients. So it's going to attack those lawns first, and then again, slow-growing, unirrigated turf and hungry turf. So I guess if I do my diagnostics on my yard, my lawn must be hungry, and it also I know is unbelievably dry right now. So that's why we're seeing it, and I'm seeing it all over the place. It's not just around here. All the different counties I'm in, different areas I'm in, from Dayton to up towards Decatur. It's everywhere. It's pretty common. But again, I was in Troy yesterday, and they had gotten quite a few showers. Like Thursday evening, they got one heck of a rain down there. So I'm seeing a little bit of it down south, but not nearly as much, because they've just been fortunate enough to get showers that's blown through that we just simply have missed. So it's not as bad. St. Henry, Fort Recovery, kind of through this stretch right here down into northern Dark County, we're about as dry as it's going to get. Even if you get up north of 29, we've been working on a project up north of 29 Salina address, and it seems like every time there's a gray cloud that blows through, the property we're working on gets rain. And he has had to have had at least 2 to 3 inches more rain than what we have, and that's from my house to his place is 25 miles maybe, and he's got to have 2 or 3 more inches of precipitation through this season than what I've had. So we're just really unfortunate in this little stretch here. We've just really missed all the rain showers that's been going through. So things are really dry. So watering your lawn, watering your trees, perennials, annuals, landscape stuff, hugely important. I get people that say, especially when they live in town, that, you know, water's expensive. And it, I mean, I guess, you know, a high water bill in July and August can hurt a little bit, but it's certainly worth the effort to keep your trees and landscaping looking nice, because it's a lot more expensive to start replacing stuff like that than it is to, you know, have an expensive water bill, you know, two months out of the year. So yep. Something to think about.
Yeah. I'll sit here and think about it for a little bit.
What, while we're taking a break?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Back in a minute.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
A new grill from a big warehouse is like trying to start your old grill. You can end up standing around by yourself and nothing happens. That's not what happens at Ace. Wengler Ace Hardware has an exclusive lineup of premium brands plus premium service from the people who know you best. We'll make sure you get the right grill, whether it's gas, wood pellet, or a flat top griddle. And better yet, we'll assemble and deliver it right to your patio. Don't forget, your newest grill is never far away, and neither is our help. That's why grilling starts at Ace. Stop by Wengler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery, your grilling destination.
Need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
Full-time production positions start at $15.25 an hour. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
The St. Joe Homecoming Festival is coming up September 10th, 11th, and 12th on the grounds of St. Joseph Parish, 1.5 miles east of Fort Recovery. The festivities kick off on that Friday night with St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament. Sign in at 7:30. Saturday night begins with outdoor mass at 4:30, and stick around for world-famous chili, the amateur horseshoe tournament, and music by RJ the DJ. Sunday's festivities kick off at 1 o'clock with NFL football on TV, a beanbag tournament, horseshoe tournament, and kitty tractor pool. Grab yourself some barbecue chicken dinners for supper and stick around for entertainment by Kyle Kesters and the raffle drawing with a $1,000 top cash prize. We'll see you at the St. Joe Homecoming Festival September 10th, 11th, and 12th.
You know, it's kind of getting toward fall when the St. Joe Festival's coming up. That's always one of my favorite things to do. They're just, there's nothing really exciting going on unless you love to watch horseshoes or play horseshoes or play the paddle stand and win cakes. But there's some of the neatest people in the world out there. And you just, sometimes you stand in one spot for 4 hours and talk to 150 different people. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that you know, the summer's passed.
Yep.
Last evening, Nikki and I went to the great Dark County Fair, which was, you know, wonderful to have the fairs back and get to see all the people and the excitement. But boy, when you get to that time of year, it's just not too long till the cold weather rolls in, and
I don't like it.
The summer's just gone unbelievably fast. Before the break, we were talking about rust, turf grass, bluegrass rust, which is a turf disease that certainly is certainly attacking your bluegrass lawn. If you've, again, got perennial rye, rye seems to be susceptible to every disease out there. That's why we really don't recommend planting just specific rye grass unless you're GABP. I think GABP has 100% rye grass in their fields, or at least they used to. I don't know if they still do or not. Advantages on that would be the rye seed will germinate in about 5 days, 4 to 5 days, with the right amount of moisture. So if they get some bare areas or some worn areas from the fielders, kind of the outfielder standing in the same spot all the time. They can get those to heal. Literally, the team goes away for a road trip and they're gone for 4, 5, 6 days. They can get those areas to heal back up. Then you don't see them. So you can't overseed consistently and just keep the lawn looking incredibly manicured green and perfect. But it takes a lot of maintenance. So that's why some of the athletic fields, if they have a huge budget, they can use that. But in most cases, you want to be thinking about a turf-type tall fescue mix or a sports field mix, which is basically going to have no rye in it at all because it is horribly susceptible to all the different types of turf diseases that are out there. Also, with the heat and the humidity, I've had a number of questions, and this season hasn't been as bad as last year. Slime mold is another disease that will get into your landscape beds, and it grows in the mulch. And as it starts to grow in your mulch, because obviously the mulch is an organic matter that's decomposing, you'll see slime mold growing in your landscape beds. And it's very common when you have heat and humidity. You're going to see it. We probably aren't seeing it for us. We're not seeing it as much as we may otherwise because we have been missing all the rain showers. If you add some moisture to that, then you'll really see it a lot. And slime mold is a fungus that grows in the mulch, and it starts out real bright yellow in your landscape beds, and it can grow again around the plants. It can even kind of grow onto the plants. It's not going to kill the plants, but it is a fungus that grows, and some people call it a dog vomit fungus because it looks like a big pile of vomit. It's really nasty looking stuff.
That sounds really nice.
I can't believe as much as landscaping as you have around your house that you've never seen that, because it's everywhere right now. And it's bright yellow for a few days, and then it kind of dries out and turns like a tannish white color. And then when you try to scoop it up or get rid of it, again, you're back to just, if you touch it, it's just a cloud of brown spores, which is, you know, kind of feeding the next generation. It's not anything that's going to, you know, again, kill you or kill your plants or kill your dogs. It's an absolute nuisance. It looks horrible. The best way to get, and you'll find it with, you know, I've had people complain that if they see it in their lawn or landscape, they got bad mulch. And that's absolutely not the case. I mean, most all the different mulch manufacturers around here have a similar process, and there's not that I can think of a way to necessarily have bad mulch. You'll find it most commonly in hardwood type mulches, hardwood bark mulches. The bark mulches is the bark of a tree. It decomposes relatively rapidly, and is a great organic matter for your landscape beds. You'll see it in that a little bit more quickly than you'll see it in the recycled mulches, which would be the dyed mulches, like the brown dyed, red dyed, black dyed mulch, which is a coarser mulch, and it's usually the heartwood of a tree that's ground up and then dyed. You will see it in that, but you don't see it as commonly as you do in the hardwood mulches. You usually don't see it at all in cypress mulches. You won't see it in pine straw either. It's just the different types of wood mulches. And again, it's not anything to get, you know, horribly excited about if it's bothering you a great deal. Again, you can take a shovel and kind of pick it up and dispose of it. One thing that helps is,
what do you do to dispose of it? Like, just throw it in a
neighbor. neighbor's landscape.
Don't think we're allowed to say that.
Oh, we're not. How about you put it, if I were you, I'd put it in Casey's dumpsters.
So put it in the trash somewhere.
Put it in the trash. Get rid of it.
They have cameras over there. I can't just go throwing stuff in their dumpsters.
Oh, dang it. So again, another thing that helps alleviate that particular problem in your landscaping is if you mulch every spring, which a lot of people do, by this time of year, the new mulch is still looks fine. I mean, it's still there. But over the summer, if you haven't really done any pruning and trimming or planting or anything, the mulch actually over the season will kind of mat down and knit together. And actually, in a lot of cases, it can, depending on how thick you put it on, it can become hydrophobic, which when we do get a quick shower that blows through, it'll hit that mulch and it'll shed off like the water on a hood of a waxed truck. So one thing that you should do throughout the summer at some point is just take a heavy garden rake and just kind of stir the mulch up, because when you stir the mulch up, you break that layer that can happen over just a season, and you get better water will absorb into the landscaping and into your landscape beds better and more quickly. And you also get, you know, oxygen to, you know, into the ground, and it can evaporate, or water can evaporate out of the ground. It's just you break that. It almost ends up being like a, I don't know, like a piece of saran wrap that kind of holds moisture underneath the mulch, and then the rain can't, you know, really penetrate. If you loosen that up, you get better air and oxygen, you know, into the soil and into the mulch. You simply won't have it. I mean, it's not rocket science not to have it, but it does take an effort to go out and kind of stir the mulch up, because if you break that layer, you're just simply not going to see it. And so a lot of people don't do that, but it's a really good idea to kind of stir that mulch up over the summertime. Makes a big difference in.
Does that also help it kind of decompose some? Does that make any difference that way?
Or? It certainly does. When you, it's kind of a catch 22. I mean, some people want to put the mulch down and hope that it lasts forever, and it's obviously not. Mm-hmm. There's always, you know, there's organisms in the soil. There's organisms in the mulch that causes decomposition of that mulch, which is a good thing, because again, as that those organisms decompose that mulch, it creates organic matter.
Yeah,
our clay soils usually don't. I mean, it has organic matter, but in a lot of cases, it doesn't have enough to keep your plants happy. So it's actually good for your lawn or good for your landscaping. I always use hardwood mulch because I like the looks, the texture, the color, and the fact that it decomposes. And over time, your landscape beds will just be looser and easier to work with because there's more organic matter in them. But to some people, that's a detriment because they don't necessarily want to remulch every spring. So if you use the dyed recycled mulches, which is a coarser texture, that definitely doesn't decompose as rapidly. And so some people like the fact that, you know, if you put a recycled, you know, dyed material mulch down, you certainly could get by with mulching every other season because it just simply doesn't decompose. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, it depends on, you know, what you want, the look you're going for. As far as strictly from the plant's standpoint, I always recommend hardwood bark mulch. But again, the recycled mulches are better than no mulch at all, because the recycled mulches will, you know, give the soil that, especially this time of year, will give that soil kind of a little bit of a protection from evaporation. So if we do get some moisture or if you water, it keeps the sun from baking and drying and evaporating the water out of the soil. It also has some pretty good principles in weed control. When you, again, kind of cover the surface of the soil with that mulch, you are going to hinder weed growth. So there are a lot of advantages, mm-hmm. either one, hardwood or the recycled mulches. But again, I'm without question, and I think most research would tell you that if you're a plant person, the hardwood bark mulches would be the way to go.
Okay. So I want to take another break here real quick.
We'll take a break.
Back in just a little bit to wrap things up.
It's time to begin planning your landscape improvements for this summer. Nature's Green Nursery can design a beautiful, cost-effective, no-maintenance landscape for your home or business with quality trees, shrubs, perennials, soils, and mulch. Steve Stone has a degree in horticulture landscape. Call Nature's Green at 419-375-2322 today and set up a free landscape design and evaluation. Check out Nature's Green on the web or like them on Facebook. Nature's Green Nursery on State Route 119. 119 just east of Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Wayne Street Market has everything you need to make your grilling great. They have the propane, they have the charcoal, they have the wood chips for your smoker, and best of all, they have great steak prices. Ribeyes are $9.99 a pound, flat iron steaks are $8.99 a pound, and New York strips and T-bones are just $7.99 a pound. And they have brats from Johnsonville, Swaggerty Farms, and Winner's Meats. And don't forget to grab some rubs and sauces from a couple of local businesses, Dave's Famous Sauces from St. Mary's and Wendell's from St. Joe. Get everything you need for this year's grilling season during their No Limit Meat Sale at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
Wow. The 2021 Win on Wabash will be held August 27th and 28th at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery. In addition to the $750,000 of cash and prizes that we will be giving away in the Tow and Go and Main Super Raffle, there will be side raffles, daily 50-50 drawings, stage games, mechanical bull riding, mobile axe throwing, vendors, food, drinks, and top-notch entertainment, including our Friday headlining band, Ladder, and our Saturday headliner, Nashville recording artist Adam Warner. Check us out on the web at wowraffle.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for all the latest updates and information. We can't wait to party with all of you at the Win on Wabash August 27th and 28th.
The Wow. They've made a little money the last few years. And
unbelievable.
They're giving away that just on the regular, the big raffle, $650,000 worth of prizes. And then the 50-50s, then the Tow and Go, something else. They're going to be, depending on how big the 50-50 gets, I think last night was the end out. I think they're drawing the 50-50 online this morning. Then they're going to do one for Friday night and one for Saturday. Depending on what those bring in, they're going to be close to $900,000 in prizes with the various side raffles and the. I think there's a gold mine thing that's got just crazy stuff in it. It's every time you turn around, you look on the. They're through doing it now, but for a long time this spring and summer, every time you turned around, you look on the social media, and they come up with another thing with $150,000 worth of prizes.
Wow! Those guys have done an unbelievable job.
Yes, and it's where at the point now where we can actually see where that money's going. For a long time, they were just kind of putting it away so they could do this stuff. And now they're, that baseball softball complex is going to be a big deal. And I'm really happy about the football press box they're putting up. And then they've given some money to the ambassadors so they can improve the camping
facilities.
And all just. There's a whole bunch of places where they're putting money, and it is really good.
The WOW supplied some of the money for the dirt work down there to get the camping area leveled out.
Yeah, I don't know if they did money for the dirt or just the electrical part or both, but
that's pretty cool. Instead of having that big round hill, and if you parked the wrong way, you'd roll out of your bed in the middle of the night.
Yeah. if you try to level it, one side of your camper is doesn't have any chocks, the other side has three
six
stories
foot, 6 foot. That's awesome.
And they're just doing things, and that is really good. Anyway, back to where we were.
Yeah, before the break, we were talking about different types of landscape, lawn issues, funguses and diseases, you know, fun stuff.
Yeah.
And now we're, you know, going to finish up here a little bit. A lot of different insect problems out there right now. Before our two-week hiatus that we had, we were talking about bagworms, and bagworms are certainly there, out there, causing damage. So keep an eye on your evergreens. Spruces, pines, arborvitaes, junipers. You still have an opportunity at this point to spray the bagworms and get good control. As we get ever closer to September, that window is just simply going to close, and you're not going to have any chance at all of controlling those insects with an insecticide. The only thing you're going to be able to do at that point is pick them and stomp them, because once they're shut, once they kind of close their bag for the season, there's no chance of getting any effective results with an insecticide. Also noticed yesterday, did a lot of driving, had a lot of appointments. And then I read some other online articles. Fall webworm is unusually bad this year. If you're out and about looking at roads, roadsides, fence rows, edges of woods, you'll see these huge, and people kind of get the bagworm confused, because the fall webworm will make a, I guess you could call it a bag. I think the entomologists call it like a tent, but they will knit this large, they'll take the end of a branch, and they'll use their webbing, and they'll knit a bag together, and then all those insects are kind of held up inside that. And as the population increases and the size of the insects increase, then they kind of expand that, and you'll see the ends of these branches, it'll have these huge colonies of webworm, and they'll all be knitted inside a really large webbed sack. And if you see one or two on in your lawn and landscape, it's probably not anything to get too excited about. In a lot of cases, if you can reach them, it's not necessary to use an insecticide, because in some cases you can just clip the end of the branch out, and again, destroy it, burn it, stomp it, get it in the garbage, get rid of it. But at some of the homes and properties I looked at yesterday, they had just a really bad infestation where there was just a lot. And in that case, you know, maybe doing an insecticide, you know, type of an application probably would be recommended, because again, if you don't manage the population this year and try to knock them out a little bit, or knock the population down next year, you can just about guarantee if all those reproduce and lay eggs and they overwinter, you're just going to have more next season. And we are to the point in this part of Ohio where we're getting two overlapping generations in the same season. And so again, you'll see, which is, I think I talked about this much earlier in the spring, you are seeing an early season, and they call it fall webworm, but you're seeing an early season generation, which you might notice in May, June, which isn't fall. But then you notice, like now, this is the big generation, and you'll definitely see it if you pay attention. You'll see it in the lawn and landscapes. It tends to be an insect that will infect more ornamental type trees, like flowering crabapples, plums, especially plums, anything in the prunus family, they seem to really be attracted to. But you can find them on maples and a lot of other varieties of shade trees. And so, again, something to be aware of or keep an eye on. If you see a huge outbreak or population, it might not be a bad idea to go ahead and treat that. We're out of time. Thanks very much for everyone tuning in. Again, if you have any questions or topics, please let me or Neil know, and we'd be happy. Yep. To
Steve at Nature's Steve, Green Nursery.
All small letters, Steve at naturesgreennursery.com. You can always email me with, again, topics or questions, send me pictures. Be happy to take a look at them if you got something that you're having issues with. Again, I think I had mentioned it. It's very common for me to get back after a bunch of appointments at the end of the day and find, you know, some different types of branch samples, baggies full of bugs and leaves and things and notes and questions. Hey, what's going on here? What do I need to do with this? Is this something to be concerned with? So I'm always happy to try to help with issues like that. So again, curious if there's somebody out there listening that's got a topic they want me to hit, be happy to do it.
Yep. So Steve at naturesgreennursery.com or Fort Recovery Radio at outlook.com. And we'll do all we can to help you out with that.
Absolutely. Thanks thanks everybody for tuning in.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.